In the meantime, Psalm 121 is a psalm that is another one of the Song of Degrees. It probably says that in your Bible as a title for this psalm. And it says in verse number 1, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. I hope this message will be a blessing and help to you as we look at this Song of Degrees. Let's pray, and then we'll get right into the message. Dear Lord, again, I thank you for the opportunity for us, Lord, to be together, to be a part of this service tonight. I pray you'd bless the preaching of your word. Lord, that you'd help it to be more than me just giving my opinions and thoughts on things. Lord, that would be vanity. It would be worthless. It would be a waste of your people's time. Lord, I don't want to waste their time. I want to point them to you, and I want, when this is all said and done, for them to think much of you, to love your word, to love you, to worship you. And so, Lord, I pray that you would lead me in such a way that I can lead your sheep to love you and serve you even more than ever before. Lord, I pray that you would anoint me with power and authority. Humble me while you exalt your own name and fill me with power for your work. I know you can do that, and I thank you that you will. Thank you again for your constant comfort and guidance. Lord, you are good, and we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. So in this psalm, we'll see that as I read the psalm, I really see that there are two voices speaking here in the psalm, and the second voice comes about as a result of the first voice and what the first voice says. What I mean by that is if the first voice had not spoken what it did speak, then the second one would not speak what it speaks. And I think you'll see what I'm saying as we go along. Let's look at the first voice, which is in verses 1 and 2, and it's very obviously the voice of the psalmist, all right? Whomever it is that God used to write this psalm, this is his voice. Notice what it says, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. So I see in verse number 1 that the psalmist here, in his voice, does a very deliberate job of directing his will to do, or I guess I ought to put it this way, directing himself to do according to his will and not according to his feelings. What I mean by that is this. He says, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills from whence cometh my help. In other words, this, it's almost as if he's saying, I have determined in my mind, this is where mine eyes are going to be. I am going to lift them up to the hills. I'm not going to let them fall where they normally would. I'm not going to let them fall where they would naturally go. I'm going to lift them up to the hills. And friends, that's a good illustration of what we need to do. Think about it for just a minute. When you're discouraged, when you're downtrodden, where is it natural for your eyes to go? Naturally, your eyes go down, don't they? You have a tendency to slump your shoulders, you know, like a preteen that's just been told to clean their room. You know what I'm talking about, you preteens out there, right? The shoulders slump down, and the head goes down, and you look down. And sometimes, friends, we as adults are just like that when things don't go our way. I know I have a struggle with that, just as you do, that when things don't go right and sometimes things overwhelm me, it's easy for me to begin to mope around and look down and not be looking where I should be looking. Well, the psalmist here has a deliberate act of his will. He says, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills from whence cometh my help. He puts his eyes where they belong. And what that reminds me of is Hebrews chapter number 12. Keep your place in Psalm 121 because we will be back. And I want you to look at Hebrews chapter 12 because this is important. Hebrews is obviously a wonderful, wonderful book. I know it seems kind of foolish sometimes to even talk about one book being wonderful or not because they're all wonderful. That's obvious. But Hebrews becomes such a great source of encouragement when we truly understand all that it says. But Hebrews chapter 12, notice what it says in verse number 1. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, apparently that's the cloud of witnesses from chapter 11, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Verse 2, looking unto Jesus, could I say this? Lifting up our eyes to the place from whence comes our help, right? Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Now, we're going to stop reading there because for time's sake, I just don't have time to go into all that it says. But I would encourage you, read chapter 12 of Hebrews and think about it in light of discouraging days, because here's what you'll find. In Hebrews chapter 12, right after it talks about looking unto Jesus, it mentions specifically the correcting hand of God, the chastising hand that God gives to his children. And the things that we go through, the troubles that we face, are often God's chastisement. And that doesn't always mean that we've been living in absolute rebellion and open sin or anything like that. God doesn't only chastise us when we're living in open rebellion. God, as a loving Heavenly Father, even when we are trying to do right and going in the right direction, God, with his loving hand, still chastises us in love to make us even more like our Savior, Jesus Christ. Again, like a good father would do with his son. He doesn't just discipline him or work on him or correct him when he's doing something blatantly rebellious. A loving earthly father deals with his earthly son in a way where even when his son is trying to do right but messes up, he comes along and lovingly corrects him and turns him to do it the right way. Well, God does that same thing with us. So we should look unto Jesus, and even when things aren't going right, look at it as it's God's correcting hand. And today, in the day and age in which we're in, the situation that we're in, where we're living in a situation that is much different than we've ever seen before, and things aren't going the way that we would like them to go, please remember that it is God's chastising hand on us. And that's not because God's angry at you and wants to just beat it out of you and is so glad to get his frustration out on you. God doesn't work that way with his children. But God is using all of this in a chastisement that we all need to make us more and more into the image of Christ. It's not God's angry hand, it's God's loving hand for you and me as his children. And boy, am I glad about that. I'm so glad that God loves me enough to discipline me and does the same for you. But go back to Psalm 121. We're still talking about the psalmist's voice, and we saw that he talked about an act of his will. That was verse 1. But in verse number 2, he gives a recognition of reality. Look at verse 2. He says, "My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth." So he says, I'm going to lift my eyes to the hills from whence cometh my help. And then he says, the reality is that my help comes from the Lord. It's not from other people. It's not from my friends. It's not from my relatives. It's not from within. You know, the old idea that the strength to do whatever you need to do is within you. You just need to dig it out. That's not what the psalmist said. Rather, he said that his help came from the Lord. That's the recognition of reality. And he mentions it in this way. He said, the Lord which made heaven and earth. Why is that important? What does it matter that God made heaven and earth? Well, it matters a lot. It really is everything, isn't it? Because when you recognize that he made heaven and earth, that means there's nothing that is too hard for him. And that's what Jeremiah said in Jeremiah 32:17. He said, ah, Lord God, behold, thou hast made the heavens and the earth. And then he said, is there anything too hard for thee? Boy, that's an open-ended question, isn't it? That's an obvious answer. That's one of those questions that doesn't even need to be answered. It's so obviously one way or another. It is obvious that if God made heaven and earth, then he's able to do anything. And that includes for you and for me today. Our eyes should be on him from whence cometh our help. It comes from the Lord which made heaven and earth. Boy, our government is crazy, isn't it, these days? A lot of people upset about all that's going on in Congress, both in the House of Representatives as well as the Senate, and they're bickering back and forth and fighting between themselves as to how much money that they don't have that they should give to all of us. And we're all about to get pretty wealthy here pretty soon, it looks like, huh? lot of money is going to be thrown our direction here pretty soon. Money that, by the way, our government does not have. One of the interesting things about it, friends, is although if that money does come through, we ought to use that, obviously, for God's glory and, you know, thank God for it and use it not for foolishness but for wisdom and all of that. But, friends, our help does not come from Congress. Our help does not come from President Trump's desk, whether he signs it or doesn't sign it, whether they throw in, you know, $1,500 or $3 million, doesn't matter. That's not where our help comes from. Our help comes from the Lord. Don't look to the government for your help. Look to God for your help because he made heaven and earth. Congress can't even pass a bill without arguing between one another, right? Well, Psalm 121 doesn't just end with the first two verses, obviously. It has several more. Verses 3 through 8 begin the other voice. The first voice was the voice of the psalmist. Well, the second voice is about to begin here in verse number 3. And do you remember that I told you that the second voice would not say what it said had it not been for what the psalmist said in the first two verses? In other words, this voice that's about to speak in the psalm is speaking because of the faith that the psalmist had in the first two verses. Did you notice that faith where he said, I'm going to lift up my eyes, or I will lift up my eyes to the hills? That's where my help comes from God that made heaven and earth. That's great faith. And now because of his faith, there's another voice. And I'm going to put it this way, it's the voice of the Comforter. Because you see, the Holy Spirit is the one who authored the Word of God, isn't he? The Holy Spirit is the one who authored it, and he's the one who's speaking here. Because the psalmist, whether it were David or whoever it was, this psalmist, because of the faith that he showed, now you see this voice of the Holy Spirit is able to give him comfort and encouragement because of his faith. I'm reminded of Romans 15, where it tells us that we will receive joy in believing. Romans 15, 13 tells us that. In 1 John 5, 4, it tells us that this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. And friends, that's as true now as it was in the days that the Apostle John wrote that. That is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. And I'm reminded of the fact that in John 14, Jesus promised that he would send us another comforter. And friends, the Holy Spirit is there to comfort us. These words ought to comfort you tonight and comfort me. And as we act in faith like the psalmist did, I believe that they will comfort us. And here's what the Comforter speaks to the psalmist here. It's really in two stages or two parts that the Comforter speaks. First of all, he comforts the psalmist with the truth that God, the one that he's looking to help for, or looking for help from, is never going to sleep. Notice what he says in verse 3. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Notice verse 4. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. You see, this comforter is encouraging the psalmist that if he's looking to God for help, then there's good news. And the good news is that God will never sleep. Friends, that's true for you. Notice that he says, first of all, he will not suffer thy foot to be moved. Why is that important? Well, because your footing is an indication of how steady you are, how safe you are. You see, it's important to us how our footing is, isn't it? Turn with me, if you would, please, to the book of Habakkuk. Habakkuk chapter number 3. Now, I believe it was about a week and a half ago on a Sunday evening that we were able to sing Habakkuk 3, and I think it's verse 17 is the scripture verse that we often sing from this. And this is a good scripture portion for us. Habakkuk 3, we want to look at verse 17 to 19. And it would help if I would get to the right book here. I was in Malachi. I don't know what I was thinking there. Habakkuk 3 and verse 17. There we go. Verses 17 to 19. Now, think about what Habakkuk is going through at this time. If you kind of remember what the book of Habakkuk is all about, he's one of the last prophets in the nation of Judah, not long before they are going to go into captivity to Babylon. And he knows that, and he talks to God about that. And in Habakkuk, he begins to see the fact that God's judgment is going to fall, and he knows it's going to come. Now, friends, that's similar to what we face today, don't we? I have a feeling, I tend to think that we'll come out of this okay, as far as I think our economy will, to a great extent, recover. And I'm sure that very soon the days will come when we'll be back to normal. I think to some extent things will go back to normal and people will fall back asleep like they were before, right? But friends, we understand that this is just one of those times where it's almost as if it's a precursor of things to come, right? It's God showing us, look, it would only take a moment for the whole thing to crash and for everything to fall down around us. And that might seem scary to us. It shouldn't, because remember, our eyes should be looking to the hills from whence cometh our help. Our help comes from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. That's where our eyes should be. We see Habakkuk was facing that. And in verse 17, here's what he says. Although the fig tree shall not blossom. Now, he's talking about when the judgment falls. Although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall fruit be in the vines. Now, think about that. There's no fruit. There's no food. The labor of the olive shall fail. The fields shall yield no meat. The flock shall be cut off from the fold. So not only is there not fruit, but there's also not meat. And there shall be no herd in the stalls. Okay, although all of that is going to come to pass, verse 18, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. Can we say that today? Can we say that with Habakkuk? Can we say it with the psalmist in Psalm 121? I'm not looking to the fig tree. I'm not looking to the olives. I'm not looking to the stall and whether or not there's a herd in the stall or whether or not, you know, the oxen are there or the sheep are there. That's not what I'm concerned with. I'm not looking to the Dow Jones Industrial or, you know, the NASDAQ or whatever. I'm not looking to those things. I don't care what Rush Limbaugh says or this pundit says or this group over here. I'm not worried about what everyone's opinion is on Facebook. I'm going to rejoice in the Lord. Can we say that? Can we say with the psalmist, I'm looking to the Lord for my help? Verse number 19, the Lord God is my strength. Now notice this next phrase. And he will make my feet like hinds' feet. And he will make me to walk upon mine high places to the chief singer on my stringed instruments. He will make my feet like hinds' feet. Well, a hind is one of those animals that would climb on the rocks and go up and down in the mountains with very sure feet and would do very, very well. And you see, friends, that's the kind of situation that Habakkuk was in. He said, no matter what happens, I understand and I know that God is going to make my feet just like hinds' feet, that God will make sure that I don't fall. I know that he will not allow my foot to slip. Now, let's go back to Psalm 121. I want to kind of finish up quickly here, and then we're going to jump in the middle of that prayer meeting. Brother Pritchett just told me that they're ready and they've started that or are going to start here in the next minute or so. So back to Psalm 121. He said in verse number 3, he will not suffer thy foot to be moved. What a comfort. What an encouragement. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. So in other words, he's keeping you and he does not fall asleep. You don't have to worry about whether or not he's still on the job. He is always on the job. Then verse 5, the Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. No matter if it's day or night, you don't have to fear the heat of the day. You don't have to fear the darkness of the night. Verse 7, the Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. That is the promise of God. And I would encourage you to look at Isaiah 27. What a great encouragement Isaiah 27 is to us. And then verse number 8, the Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. Friends, God's promise to you and me is, if we will act like the psalmist did in verses 1 and 2, get our eyes down from the ground, or up from the ground, I should say, get our eyes off the circumstances, if we'll put our eyes on the Lord and look to him for our help, then the Comforter can speak to our hearts, just like he spoke to the heart of the psalmist, and he can give us these promises. Listen, he's never sleeping, and he's your keeper. He won't allow your foot to slip. He won't slumber or sleep, and he's your keeper. He'll keep you from the sun or the moon. He'll preserve you from all evil, and he'll do it forevermore. But in order for us to be able to have that comfort, that encouragement in our hearts, we have to act in faith just like the psalmist did. Let's pray. Dear Lord, I do thank you. Thank you so much, Lord, for the comfort of your word. I thank you that you've told us of these things, that we're reminded of these things. Lord, would you keep us from looking at our circumstances? Lord, I struggle with that so much personally. Lord, it's so easy for me to get discouraged from day to day and see things going on around me. Lord, get angry at different individuals in government and different individuals in leadership, Lord, for the things that they do or don't do. Would you forgive me, Lord, for that and forgive all of us? Would you turn our eyes back where they belong, looking to the hills, looking to you who made heaven and earth? Do it for me and do it for all of us that you might be glorified. Now, Lord, as we enter this prayer meeting, would you guide and direct in whoever it is, the pastors that have been chosen to lead us in prayer, would you guide their mouths and their hearts? Would you guide us to pray with them, I pray, in Jesus' name.